Whoa. I do not know if I am
Love
on the line.
Talk Radio.
You are now.
I do not know if I am on the line, so I'm just going to begin speaking, because I don't know if anybody is listening. This is Father Teresa in Florida from Washington State. Oh.
I can hear you.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard the music playing. I was like, I'll just start yakking away.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening.
What's up?
Maybe I didn't press one in the beginning. I called in at 7:50, and I was like, "Oh, where is everybody?"
It won't start doing anything to like right at 8 o'clock and whatnot. So,
ah.
Oh man, how's everybody on this Friday?
I'm relaxed. It's the Florida heat is back. There was a quick cold front right after the hurricane passed, and a lot of wind coming off the Gulf. A lot of good wind blowing east, and it was cool. But now it's hot again, and I didn't turn the air conditioner on today, so it's crazy in this house.
Yeah, it got pretty nippy down here too, you know. And I guess the first and foremost, we want to send you know, our heartfelt wishes for a speedy recovery to all those affected by the hurricane and all those who may have lost someone or lost a lot of their belongings and maybe even their homes. You know, really wish you the best and hope for a speedy recovery. And if you know of any links to relief efforts in the areas affected by the hurricane, please feel free to post them in the chat room for everyone to see them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In the chat room or any of our walls or inbox to us, and we'll be more than happy to, you know, share that information with one another, because it's just, you know, it was a tragedy, and we definitely, you know, our thoughts are with them up there, and if there's anything we can do, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, my friends know if I, you know, I got your back. If I can help you, if I got it, I'm going to give it, you know.
It's a reminder of how real it can get, how fast. Like, people, you look at those video clips, and it looks like one of those other, like those third world countries. People walking around, they're out of gas, out of electricity, out of food. It's that's creepy. Like, you can't believe that's America.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, I'm sorry, Kim.
No, babe, go ahead.
I remember when I first started driving trucks, and it was right around the time of Katrina, and we came to the area, and it looked like a war zone. And you look at the destructive power of Mother Nature, and you're just in awe. Like, we had weapons of mass destruction, but when Mother Nature when things go completely out of whack, or the right conditions happen, and you see the destructive power of nature, you just flabbergasted, you know. You don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, like the living version of a Robert Frost poem, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always, in some of his poems, he would always talk about man versus nature. And, you know, we're going to lose every time, so.
Right.
I've heard the idea brought up a couple of shows I listen to, and they were talking about that idea that humans, that we're just a parasite, you know, digging into the planet, pulling out the oil, and, you know, they were like these artist types, and they were like, the oil is the Earth's blood, and we're just like mosquitoes, and every once in a while there's a little earthquake, little hurricane trying to scratch some of us mosquitoes and fleas and ticks off of the planet's body. And it's like, yeah, anywhere you go, like I'm over here on the East Coast, a hurricane could come through. You go in the Midwest, you get a tornado dropped in your face. You go to the West Coast, you got earthquakes falling on you. On the West Coast, I'd rather go live in the rural area where the earthquake won't hit you so hard. But the rural area is closer to the volcano. So either way,
it's
going to scratch you off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, somebody told me there's actually a volcano in Georgia. You know, I think it's dormant, but I think there actually is one.
Yeah, one of those underground ones or above ground?
I think so. I don't quote me on that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, Georgia is also on a fault line as well for the earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
It's on a fault line as well. So, yeah, you know, I remember my family at one point, we lived in California. And when we moved back to Chicago, interestingly enough, we had an earthquake that same summer. And so I was laughing, used to laugh. I'm like, we left California because my mom feared the earthquakes and then came to Chicago and had one. How about that for irony?
And they just expelled wind.
I've been in a couple tornadoes, but you know, I remember we had the Mother Nature. There was a series of tornadoes that came through here around Mother's Day of 07, I believe. 07 or 08. And, you know, it was like an F1 or F2 tornado. It did a pretty good damage. But I was able to go to work the next day. And these people were talking about, now we know how the people in Louisiana felt. I'm like, no, you don't. Not at all. Not at all. You got a light spanking compared to what they got. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah,
but, you know, not to miss a beat. I was at work the next day.
Oh yeah, and it's work day. That's the important thing. Go ahead, William.
Oh yeah, even groups of people that live in the same city or town that gets hit, one neighbor is not going to know how the next neighbor feels. Like where I came up in Spanaway, when those snowstorms would you know, the snow weighs down the tree branches, messes up the power lines, people lose electricity. The people on the block that have a generator do not know how the people on the block that don't have a generator feel, and they're in the same street. And so it's like, yeah, you know, each individual human experience, yeah, we do not know how each other feels.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, a story that I read about Sandy, you know, that I found extremely unfortunate was there was this woman in her vehicle, and she had her two sons with her, and it started flooding. And apparently she got out the car with the kids, and the water started carrying, the tide started carrying the kids away and ripped the little boys out of her arms. She had two boys. And she basically went to the people, because it wasn't her neighborhood. It was a neighborhood she was driving through. She was knocking on their doors, asking for help to help, you know, save her sons. And people were saying, I don't know you, slamming a door in her face, turning the porch light off on her, all of that.
Mm.
And she lost both of her sons, and they found the body of one. They may have found the body of the second one. I didn't look anything up today. I didn't have time to look for that. But basically, her son, and she sat there in the middle of their street crying for about 15 hours because nobody would help her, and she lost her boy.
That reminder there that, like, we got to value each other more. Like, I don't want to say I know what those people were feeling, but I figure, you know, electricity's out. Who knows what's going on? It's dark. It's scary. And somebody coming up to your home, you might be like, I just don't even want to risk opening the door to who knows what could be coming in to try to raid my supplies. We become these little mercenary soldiers against each other. That's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It just broke my heart when I read that story. And I'm like, you know, her two boys just ripped out of her arms because of the water. And I can only imagine, you know, the guilt, if any guilt, that, you know, that she feels, you know, because, you know, she may have left somewhere safe, and she's probably saying, I should have stayed where I was. I can't even begin to imagine. I just know that my heart goes out to her, and, you know, I'm going to look that story up a little bit more. And if they have a fund for her, you know, I'm definitely going to contribute to that, because that was just tragic.
If there's one thing that really pisses me off about humans, is apathy. is when you just could not care less. Like, I've read of stories like that, you know, and I know that there's been some, I heard of the Kitty Genovese story, and I've heard that there's some details about that that were kind of fudged or whatever, so I can't vouch for the authenticity of this story. So, but generally, you know, the story goes that she was stabbed to death by some, I think it's one man or a few men, and a group of people that stood around and watched and wouldn't help. And you know, it just, you know, it really trips you out that, you know, this stuff is out there, and people do just kind of look on, you know, without any type of, they're more concerned about their own safety than they are about helping someone. I guess in some ways you can't really fault them, but at the same time, to just stand there and do nothing, or to see that somebody needs help and you just ignore that person and allow them to deal with whatever they're going through. You know, one of the things that I bring up this because, you know, it's kind of relevant, and Halloween just passed. One of the things that was explored in John Carpenter's 1978 Halloween was the threat of suburbia, how just because you live in a close-knit, really close society, and all of you are really neighbors and whatnot, doesn't mean you're not alone. Because in one of the scenes, she runs to the next door, and Michael Myers is left. She just ran away from Michael Myers, and she's screaming for help. And she's knocking on the door and beating on the door. Someone turns on the light, and then they turn it right back off and just leave her out there to fend for herself. That wouldn't have made it into a movie if it hadn't happened enough for someone to notice it. So, you know what I'm saying? It is, you know, a lot of times, like, one thing I was told is that they tell women to scream fire instead of help or something like that. Is that true?
I heard that. In childhood, I actually heard that, yeah, a long time ago. And I was like, when you're first learning about sex and you're learning what rape is, and you're like, ah, really, that's the world we live in? Yeah, too bad. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know, I guess we've kind of conditioned ourselves. I don't know if it's, it's our society or whatever, you know what I'm saying, that, or maybe it's just human nature, the idea of self-preservation just takes hold in everything. And, you know, then, you know, you have this thing in which religion itself, you know, you would think that being such, there's so much religion out there, so many churches, there's so many people that are religious, that you believe in blessings, you believe in doing something good, and you're going to be blessed for it. Well, why
are
so many people suffering?
Right.
You know, and then this is the same type of thinking that restricts, you know, has a lot of restrictions on society, which kind of leads into our topic, you know, about sex and religion and how, you know, religion affects sex and whatnot, and sexual identity and stuff. But a lot of that's been in the news over the last few months, especially concerning the, the Chick-fil-A debacle and women's reproductive rights and, you know, what is rape and everything like that. I mean, it gets very convoluted. And, you know, for America to be as, quote-unquote, free a society as it claims, we are a very conservative, restrictive country, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's religious ideals that, you know, prevented you from, that prevents you from, if you want to buy a prostitute, you can't. You can go to jail for that, unless you're in, like, Nevada or something like that. But, it's religious ideals that just give you the idea of what a woman should dress like, how she should carry herself and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, if a woman carries herself a certain way, she's labeled a whore. You know.
Right. Right. You know, and basically, you know, the church is guilty, you know, of inciting shame when it comes to sex and sexuality. And, you know, it's something that's natural. And they devalue women, you know, in a certain sense, and teach women that, you know, they're treacherous and unworthy and just naughty people or naughty creatures. And if we enjoy sex of any nature, and that our purpose is for breeding and serving men. That is the purpose of a woman, to breed and to serve her man, according to the church. And so it's just, it's interesting. And I mean, you know, in the Bible, they teach these men that their wives and their children are their property, and that's about it. They look at, you know, them as chattel. So, you know, it's interesting because especially with some men in this country, when they decide that they want a wife, a woman, not all men, this is just a couple, a few, they basically look at it as living, sex, and a maid.
Mm-hmm.
And a cook. Yeah, well, you know, a maid does all of that, cooking and cleaning. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the mindset of a lot of people in this country. But, you know, again, you know, when you look at your wife and your children as your property, you know, it's already pretty much doomed to fail starting from that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I should leave myself in with us just saying I've never read the Bible, and I never will because I don't need to. You know, because I'm a natural atheist, and if you think that you're the religious person out there who can make it not sound silly to me, go for it. But I'm not actually going to read the Bible, so what I'm going off of is bits that I pulled out doing research and just things that I've heard religious people say when interpreting their favorite parts of the Bible that they want to legislate. I'm not an expert. I'm just a person with opinions that I haven't even seated in concrete. They can change. I'm no great debater, and I'm just going off of anecdotal evidence and just looking around at what I'm seeing. I guess, yeah, we're going to be digging into homosexuality and my own thoughts there. Like, if I had a gay son, it'd be like a, all right, you know, rock on, party. But I think there'd also be that part where, you know how dads want to protect their daughters from sex, but not their sons from sex, because their son's having sex with a girl. I think if my son was having sex with a guy, I'd be like, I want to meet your boyfriend. Bring him over for dinner. I want to meet Gerald, see if this is the right guy for you. Like, I'd probably be more serious, just because it's a male. Like, what is that, like a, we don't want another penis coming in the household? Which makes me think of, like, all that plural marriage stuff, which you hear about with the Mormons and in the Muslim religion. I don't know if the Christians or any others have any of that, but it's like, bring all the vaginas you want, but don't bring another penis into this house. This is my house, and I'm the king, and I'm the only penis. That seems to be coming out of religion. Like, I'm big ball bag here. I'm the tough guy. Don't bring anyone else. And then, like Kim spoke on, like, the woman is the maid or there for the men's sexual pleasure. And, like, you hear that when you hear young men speaking. Like, it's never, like, we had sex. It's all, like, I fucked her, you know, or she filleted me. You know, it's either I did something to her or she did something for me. Yeah, maybe I'm thinking any other thoughts weighing in on there.
Yeah, I mean, when you got thousands of years of male dominant religion, you know, backing you up and everything, you kind of have this ideal that the women are pretty much here for you, and I'm kind of glad that we've gotten to a modern society in which we're starting to really break out of all that, you know, and it isn't, you know, the traditional, you know, way that we do things anymore, you know. You know, I trip out at some women who talk about, like, I want to be treated like a queen and everything. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, if you happen to be, you know, the one married to King Henry, you could be beheaded if he thought you were cheating. You know, I mean, like, that's how he got Anne Boleyn. You know, she got hooked, messed up like that. Even though that man was screwing left and right, but you know, if it was thought, you know, it was so easy to be labeled a whore because a woman is supposed to be chaste. You know what I'm saying? That's where we get this whole idea of virginity, where, you know, a woman, you know, the woman, you know, a virgin is pure and whatnot. And, you know, she is unspoiled and everything. Did you see that whole thing about that woman? I believe she was Brazilian, but she was in Australia, who was auctioning off her virginity, and she got over $780,000.
I did, but that's one of those things I don't look into because I wouldn't call myself a skeptic. I don't think I'm well-versed in enough things to really be a skeptic. But I immediately say, probably not even a virgin anyway, just taking advantage of the fantasy and selling the fantasy to some clown.
Right. Yeah, got to be some good Mickey, though. What was that now?
Oh, what else,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Said, you're right, you know, because basically, you know, with the whole sex and religion thing there, yeah, you know, it's about selling controversy. You know, sex and controversy sell. And when you combine the two, it sells even more. And because, again, you know, pretty much the bedrock of religion is fear, guilt, and shame. You know, if you know, the Bible says, even if you, you know, lust after a woman, you know, if you're thinking and believing these things in your heart, it's just as bad as, you know, the actual act itself. And, you know, the guilty part of it make you feel guilty for enjoying sex, make you feel guilty for, you know, thinking about, it's just, you know, sex is for procreation only in some people's eyes. And so, you
right.
know, if you're not dropping a baby, you know, every 9 months, like the Duggars, you know, something wrong with you.
Yeah, I actually have that part of the political platform that you were just speaking from right there. The part of the political platform, Matthew 5:27-30. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that you throw your whole body in hell. The old thought crime there. They throw
right.
at you. But then you could tell us that political platform as they wrote in all those loopholes for men. Oh, if you lie with a woman who was a virgin, then you go ahead and kick her dad over 50 shekels there, and that's your wife.
Right.
good thing we don't use that anymore, because it'd be a lot of deformed some bitches around here.
There was one of them. I believe it was Australia. Don't quote me on that, but it happened way earlier this year in the spring where they actually did use that on a young woman and make her marry her rapist, and she committed suicide. So yet they're still, you know, they're Einsteining it. They're just going to keep on doing this experiment, even though it's not working because they're insane.
Exactly.
And, you know, speaking on that, you know, if you go back, and, you know, this predates Christianity, and, you know, as far as people, how they use their children as, you know, like a currency, and how they sell these children into not only slavery, sometimes they sell them into these marriages, which is another form of slavery, depending on where you are, what part of the world, and your view on marriage. And sometimes, you know, diplomatic seal, you know, especially when you look at some of these countries that, you know, intermarry. You know, because,
right.
like, you know, yeah, keep the blue blood blue. And so, you know, it's just, the whole thing is just interesting when you go back and you start reading, you know, about all of these things. But, you know, most of the church's views towards sex, you know, basically it comes from the early church, you know, what they detested, you know, which basically was paganism. You know, we talked a little bit about paganism, but whatever issues they had personally, you know, whatever hang-ups they had personally, then, of course, now their God and their Bible is against whatever that happens to be.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
You
right.
brought in that thought there with, the children being property. This is a quick thought. This is one I had when I listened to this show where people write in emails asking for relationship advice, and this guy, he was like, you know, I make a lot of money in my own business, But, you know, this young lady I'm trying to date, her parents only want her dating doctors and lawyers, and they allow her to go out and date doctors and lawyers just because that's the, you know, the job they're going through, or if they're in school for that. And it just made me think, like, before you even answer the man's question, it's like, do you want to be involved in that family where the parents are basically whoring out their daughter to the highest bidder? Like, that's pretty much all they're doing. They're like, hey, are you making enough money to come get this product off us? And that's really, I wouldn't say that's uncommon. Like, the upper the tax bracket is of the parents, the more bourgeois they might want to get with their daughters and be like, I want to sell this one. And that's kind of what you're doing there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
You know.
Wow.
That's incredible. You know, and you know, articles I've been reading, like, I've been reading this article about on Psychology Today, religion and sexuality, Iron Age or Dark Ages. You know, and you know, it was talking about a lot of things. You know, one of the things it was talking about, like, everything that was banned in the Bible. And everything, like no sex during menstruation, no birth control, no abortion, no same gender sex, no anal sex, no oral sex, sexual fantasy, masturbation, non-monogamy, sex before marriage, marrying outside the religion, and sex outside marriage. You know, and a lot of this stuff was written during, you know, an ancient time in which you don't really have many options here. You know what I'm saying? Your life expectancy is like, what, 35 or 40? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're living in close-knit societies. You're not really moving around. You know what I'm saying? You got to start pumping out kids as soon as you can and having many of them, because if you have 12, you might lose 10 of them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, you. So a lot of our ideals about sex, especially, you know, come straight down through religion and whatnot, and especially how, you know, ideas of chastity and purity and whatnot. And, it's, you know, I mean, I don't understand, you know, if you look at it from a scientific perspective, our bodies start activating all this sexual stuff around, what, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, stuff like that. Right.
Right.
Who the hell is thinking about marriage at that time period? You think
exactly.
That if God
your body. Go ahead.
Right. So if marriage is so important to God, why doesn't it activate after you get married?
Right.
I mean, if he's so into it, then why doesn't it just like, okay, I'm hitting the switch now and yeah, you can have sex now, you know?
That's
exactly.
A fresh new thought. You brought a brand new meaning to when I typically sarcastically say marriage doesn't exist because you just put on some magic jewelry, you don't become husband and wife. But yeah, that would really validate putting on that jewelry if as soon as you put on the ring, puberty begins. You know, you wake up the next morning, you got a little mustache, you know, you think you're in the 70s, you're looking sharp. Yeah, that's I like that. That's a new thought for me.
The cat is sharp over there. Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and interesting, you know, not just with Christianity, you know, with Judaism, you know, with Orthodox Jews, for the most part, they have what's called a purity ceremony. And during this time, you know, married Jewish women are required to immerse in a ritual bath after their period before they can have sex with their husband. And pretty much almost every Orthodox married woman does this. And basically the ritual baths are not to remove physical impurities, but rather to remove spiritual impurities. So before immersing, one must already be completely clean, having soaked in a bath and removed all makeup, dirt, nail polish, etc. And the concept stems from the spiritual impurity of death. Since every egg is a potential life, every period is a sort of death, in that it was a loss of potential life. So the midbath, the ritual bath, cleanses the spirit, not the body. And so, you know, that's how that came about.
Jeez, I think that idea, like they're saying, every single period is a death there. That kind of ties into the thought Mario just put up there, where how, you know, that people were dying at, what, 35 years old and stuff. So it was like, hurry up and breed. So, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, you know, like, they're probably the townspeople are looking and they're like, you know, little Maria's having periods. Those could be babies. You know, she needs to hook up with Timothy and, you know, start keeping the species going. just out of pure logic.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could see that, but you know, we clearly don't need to do that today. Not just we know better. Like, let's go ahead and just, you know, go through our 20s because we can get so much more mature now. We can get so much more smart. And for anybody who, you know, go through your 20s without kids, go to school, advance in your career or something. You don't got to breed yet. And it shows, like,
right.
What, like women can have healthy babies, like, up to their, like, mid, late 40s or something. And even then, everybody doesn't need to be breeding. We don't need that many people.
Right,
really fall back. Like, the species is not dying out.
Right.
Just look at 5 o'clock traffic.
Right.
$7 billion.
It's like, you know, some of these people are trying to outbreed each other, but go ahead.
Bring it in, Mario.
Like the Dugars. I mean, who the hell stays pregnant that long? I mean, you know, and it's like somebody told me that most of them have been C-sections. I'm like, they just need to install a zipper for that woman. I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, going back to that, you know, that comes from the Bible, the Old Testament. It comes from Psalms 127 and 5. And I'll go ahead and read the King James Version, but it says, "Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And basically, when they're talking about a quiver full of them, they're talking about children.
You see how what part of that he said he should not be ashamed, right? So it's basically saying if you're a dude that's getting laid all the time, you should not be ashamed of that. If you're just constantly shooting loads in chicks, then you're awesome, bro, as they still say today. Like, it's the same frat party it always was.
Right, right, right.
Something kind of creepy, though, about, all right, your daughter just gave birth to your grandchild while you're giving birth to her brother. That's kind of creepy.
Right.
Yeah, that's how you end up with people that look like John Kerry. That's how that happens.
Leave Fireman Bill alone. Thank you. But, you know, the interesting thing is, it's just, you know, when Mario was reading off, you know, the different reasons and the different things, notice, well, I don't remember hearing you say anything about bestiality. And, you know, which is interesting because I was just looking up some information and they have this quote here. And this came from Khomeini, and he basically says that bestiality is okay, but here is the quote. "A man can have sex with animals, such as sheep, cows, camels, and so on. However, he should kill the animal after he has his orgasm. He should not sell the meat to the people in his own village. However, selling the meat to the next door village should be fine."
Dang.
Isn't that just, so that yet again, men and their penises, because obviously what everybody doesn't want to touch is the sperm that came out of the penis. It's just gross, and the other fellas don't want that on you. But in the other village, yeah, awesome. Go over there and put that in there. Just like as George Carlin said, all the bombs and rockets and bullets and missiles look like penises, and you go and dump them in the other person's village. Yeah, it's not easy. When you dig into the Bible, you realize that it really hasn't changed. The language just did. We're not all talking like Shakespeare anymore, but it's the same thing.
Hey, I think it's kind of jacked up. I can't remember the scripture, but, you know, about the guy, you know, he wants to marry this dude's daughter, but dude once said, you know, all right, you got to bring me 100 foreskins before you can do that. And so this dude comes back with 200 foreskins. And it's like, and I'm reading that. I can't remember the scripture verbatim or what it was, but it's like, what kind of sick bastards insist that you go cut off the tips of the penises of 100 guys? It's just like, I mean, I'm just going to think of the most random, out of nowhere, impossible to achieve shit that I can. And not only does he achieve that goal, but he exceeds it. I mean, what do you say after that?
No, I'm picking my face up off the floor now. I've never heard that before. Like, I gotta... Let me pass the microphone to Kim. I gotta put my brain to that for a second. That is insane.
Well, you know, it was like some type of, you know, expression of manhood and courage and all of that. Like, you know, I gave the example about how in some third world countries, in particular, you know, I'm talking about Africa here, how, you know, a sign of virility for a man is when they go around and they basically decapitate or sever the heads of other people. And the more heads they've collected in their homes, then that means they have a lot of courage and a lot of virility. And that's how some women choose their husbands in some of these villages. And so in that respect, that's some of the same thing that's happening there. So when he had to go out and cut off the foreskin of, you know, 100 men, you know, that shows that he has courage and his virility. And that's where that came from. You know, it's really interesting. The Bible is full of a lot of, you know, interesting stories. The entire book, The Song of Solomon, is nothing but Bible porn.
Yeah, I was reading that, yeah.
Right,
I was reading
good.
That because it starts off. It starts off. It's like, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chamber. And it don't make no damn sense. But I get what what is being said underneath. Pretty much somebody's about to get busy, you know, and I think it's the king. Either way it go, lucky some bitch.
Right. Right. So, you know, it's just, it's interesting when he gets to looking at all of this and putting it in its proper context. I mean, you know, going back to, you know, just different parts of the Bible in which you have, you know, fathers that have laid up with their daughters, you know, claiming that they were drunk. But, you know, guys, when you're drunk, do you not feel when a woman is having sex with you? I mean, you know, is it something that I'm missing here?
I think people lie. I think they do. I think alcohol is an excuse to lie, because I've been drinking. I still drink. I know what I did yesterday. I know what I did last week, last month. I want to say that's just an excuse to lie. It's hard to believe all this I blacked out nonsense. Like, come on, I'm a professional drinker. I was drinking when I was 16 years old to get my hair braided because they weren't checking ID in the Habibi store in the neighborhood. Stop lying.
So you're saying that Lot. So Lot,
yeah,
was telling a lie when he said he didn't know he had sex with his daughters. Lot was lying.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You know you're having sex. You know you wanted to have sex. You woke up that morning and you were like, it's going down tonight. Like, yeah, I can't believe them. Yeah, like, again, I'm not some well-informed skeptic, but I just keep my eye open for possible fibbers, improbable fibbers. I think that's a probable fibber.
Oh, man, that's incredible.
Yeah, but that deal with the foreskin, 310-982-4273. If you're the Christian that you think you can make it sound not silly to me, call in and try to convert me. Go for it. But that sounds very silly to me. I'd rather watch Dexter Morgan collect blood slides than hear these Bible guys collecting foreskin. That's beyond me. Should we turn to another subject?
Go ahead, get one. Roll it.
Oh yeah, just the whole thing. You know, it's just interesting. You know, and it's funny to me because, I mean, with some of the younger people, you know, we can talk about this. A lot of young Christians aren't waiting anymore. You know, there have been a lot of, you know, research done into this and a lot of surveys out, and it basically says that, 80% of unmarried evangelical young adults, that's 18 to 29, said that they have had sex, slightly less than 88% of unmarried adults, according to the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Organization here. And, you know, some of the younger people are, you know, kind of getting into it, but they have movements, you know, in Christianity, such as, you know, True Love Waits, and this encourages teens to wear purity rings, sign virginity pledges, pledge chastity during public ceremonies. There are some that have the young ladies pledge their virginity to their fathers, and not that they're going to have sex with their fathers, but promising their fathers that they will remain chaste, you know, until they get married. But to me, it still kind of has a little sick twist. How are you pledging your virginity to your father?
That's yeah. Jacked up.
Yeah, that's a combination of that father with that, you know, I want to protect my child that's attracted to males from penises. And then this whole business with trying to keep them virgins as long as possible, another part of that male ego. Like, all right, if I can't have plural wives and a bunch, if I'm just going to have one wife, then only my penis can be the one that has touched her. No other penises, just mine. It's just it's that hatred of the other penis, which is it homophobia? Is it tribal? I don't know, but these guys, they cannot stand the thought that another penis is nearby.
Yeah, right. Man. And, you know, and I guess, it stems from, you know, just an outmoded way of thinking in which you thought the best way to preserve your line was to know for a fact that all your descendants were of your blood. So the woman has to be, you have to be the only one tapping that and everything, even though you can go drop off and anybody you choose to, you know, the woman, though, she could not do any of that, which is, just unfair to say the least, man. I mean, you know, women have been subjected to how they should dress and what they should do and who they should do it with. In some societies, I've even read about a woman being raped, being treated as though she's the one who did something wrong, and she's the one who is being, you know, ostracized by the community because she got raped.
Right. And it's like it's always the woman's fault. And, I mean, even, you know, kind of tying it in with some of, you know, issues that we're dealing with today with this quote-unquote, you know, war against women that we're having. But basically, you know, they teach women basically defense mechanisms, defense techniques to not be raped, as opposed to teaching these men, if she says no, she said no, and keep your shit to yourself. I mean, I don't get it.
What is that? You hear about a lot of talks with boys. I've literally never heard the idea of a father having a rape talk. Now, I've never been a father and I didn't have one, so I don't actually know if it's going on or not. Like, are dads out there having rape talks? Like, I don't know. I've never had the father experience, and, you know, thanks to, you know, birth control and what have you, I never will. And I don't get that. But then, you know, with the men hating the women, I think a lot of that with the sex, they love to hate the sex, which you look at the beautiful irony of today with how pornography is legal, but prostitution is not. Like you were mentioning that, we mentioned prostitution about 30 minutes ago, a little earlier there. And it's like, yeah, if you pull out a video camera with a prostitute and suddenly you're doing a porno and it's totally legit. And it's like, it's because the men, it's a form of slut shaming to have that one legal and that the other one illegal when they're just the same thing and the only difference is the video camera. Like, if you're going to be having sex, if you're going to have that other penis before me when you marry me down the line, then it needs to be on tape so all the fellas can look at it and laugh.
Right. It's horrible. Go ahead, Mario.
I just think it's a good thing Raina isn't on today.
Oh, yeah, you know, she would have been all over them with that, because that's why I'm asking, you know. The way that a woman dresses has absolutely nothing to do with anything. A woman can walk down the street with two leaves over her breast and, you know, a paper bag over her hoo-hoo. That doesn't give you the right to touch her without her permission.
you know,
no.
you know, does not give her review permission at all. You know, but, you know, it's just, it's interesting. You know, you need to learn how to control your desires. Learn how to control your emotions. You know, again, you know, no means no. You know, no, it's not justified at all, whatsoever. No, I know you never said it was justified, but, again, you know, why does the responsibility fall on the woman? She was minding her own business. You know, so, you know, it's just it's interesting, you know, how that works. But
yeah, it's like if you're a fully clothed man and you see a woman just wearing two leaves, what do you have in common with her anyway? Why do you want to go bother her? Go find a fully clothed woman who you're more likely to be compatible with. Like, you guys might have some cultural differences. Like, I'm not going to go bother a woman that's walking down the street in a bikini. She's doing something different than I'm doing. You know, we're probably not going to mesh anyway. Yeah. Hey,
right.
That's something I had, like, with the how women dress. That's something I had to learn when I came down to Florida with the ignorance. I wasn't thinking about the weather. I'm from Washington State. I'm so used to seeing women in jeans and sweaters. I came down here, and I was like, she's cleavage everywhere. I don't know what everybody's advertising. It's like, no, it's just really hot outside. They're dressed for the weather. They're not dressed like sluts. They're trying to be comfortable in this hot-ass Florida sun.
Right. You know, and something I read, and I guess he's supposed to be Islamic. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this dude's name because it's pretty much like a damn sentence and whatnot. But basically what he said was many women who do not dress modestly lead young men astray, corrupt their chastity, and spread adultery in society, which causes earthquakes. So this dude right here is the smartest son of a bitch on earth because he figured out that women not dressing modestly corrupt young men, and that causes earthquakes. So, you know, next time when the big one hits L.A., it's y'all's fault, women. You know, I didn't say it. Dude with the sentence for a name said it.
And said, this guy's a Muslim. I tell you, if he came to America and said those exact same words as a Christian, he'd be a shoo-in for the Republican Party right now. He could jump right. They'd put him on the science board. Are you joking me? Yeah, that's awesome. Jesus Christ, that's nuts. Causes earthquakes. And yet again, blaming the women. And now they're not. I guess that one's like kind of blaming the young girls. Like if you're a young girl and you look too good, you're ruining the little boy's chastity. That little boy's already having wet dreams if he's like 12. Like you didn't ruin his chastity. It's just nature. Yeah, what up?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Oh yeah, like it's just it that's the natural thing that's gonna happen. Like the opposite genders like each other, and then if they're LGBTQIA, then they're gonna like each other too. You know, just party with that. Let me dig into something here with some homophobia that I looked up here when I was looking in these scriptures, and they were talking about Romans 1:26-1:27. For the reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. That what caught me was, yet again, that word shame popping up in there with shameless. So it's like that now that the slut shaming of the women, it extends into the homophobia of the slut shaming a man now. If a penis touched you, like now you can't be my friend anymore, Bob, because a penis touched you and you should be ashamed. What is that? I mean I don't have an answer to that little hypothetical question there, but what is that? Like they just. I know I probably said the word penis 50 times here, but they really hate penises, man. They cut the tip off of them for crying out loud. They can't stand those things.
Ooh, that is jacked up, man. That is jacked up. You know, I saw a picture of apparently apparently somebody raped somebody, and apparently they cut his wang off right then and there. They had an actual sword to do this too. I don't know whose job it is to cut people's wangs off, but you know, yeah, they actually had a sword prepared for it. I mean, that guy, you know, he stood there calmly just waiting for it. And I would think that would be one of those things that you would go down fighting on, but you know, I don't know. I guess he figured he could make it.
Yeah, I can't call it. Like, these guys, this Bible just really, it sells tribalism here. Why don't I dig into another little scripture there? Galatians 5:16-21 here. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Like, in the beginning there, what I see, like, they're saying, don't do the things you want to do. It's like they legislated cognitive dissonance into their political platform 2,000 years ago. Like, it's just telling you to be confused. Like, I want to do it, but hey, don't do any of the awesome stuff. All right, that sexual immorality, drunkenness, don't do that, Father Teresa. Put that down. Orgies, Mario, you stop it with those orgies. Yeah, like rivalries. Like, what, are they going against football teams, fits of anger? Are they going against angry comedians? Like, they hate everything awesome. If they were around now, they would shut Starbucks down. They hate everything that we like.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, you know, and it's a trip that, you know, it's like we live in such a repressed society, man. I mean, and it's, you know, like, let's assume now, okay, that let's assume that this is a complete accident. You're performing for a sports show, a major sports event, and part of the performance involves a guy supposed to be pulling off part of your wardrobe. Unfortunately, he pulls off an entire section of the wardrobe, and your breast falls out for like 1.5 seconds or something like that. Okay, so that happens. Nobody really sees it in the audience. Well, they had the big jumbotron, I guess they did. But you know, it was seen for a flash of an eye. Now the country goes batshit over that. And, you know, you got all these groups calling somebody to do something, and, you know, the company that hired the person to do the performance has to pay fines and stuff. She has to pay fines. Somebody else has to apologize. And we're drug out in this for a year or so. Now, over years and stuff like that. And it's ridiculous, because to me it's like, you know, you can explain this. It's a damn breast. You're going to see them when you get older. Get over it, okay? Kid, you know, I don't know why. It trips me out when people really try to protect the innocence of, try to pretend like they're protecting the innocence of kids, when we have a sporting, football is a violent sport. Your whole point is to crash into other guys so that this other guy can get the ball down the field without being crashed into. There's professional wrestling, which simulates violence in order, you know, for somebody to win something, which is a belt that he normally doesn't keep because, you know, I'm an old school wrestler, so I'm not even going to roll that joke, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know, then you have games, video games. You know, you simulate violence in video games. We even, you know, so we even have this thing, which I'm watching, the Chronicles of Narnia, and I'm supposed to believe that this is a kids' movie now, and these are kids killing other people. That they don't, it's because it's PG or PG-13, they don't show any blood. But you got what, you know what I'm saying, 9-10-year-old kids, you know what I'm saying, a couple teenagers killing other people, you know, because they're supposed to be protecting the kingdom or whatever like that. That's okay. But any idea of sex in a movie, especially in relation to young adults and everything, immediately draws fire. There was a show on MTV, and I believe it was called Skins, which shows sex. I think it shows sex between high schoolers or something like that. And I don't think it went into full graphic detail or whatever, but I think it was enough that it tripped off Americans and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, who are you fooling? Name somebody you know who didn't have sex in high school. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it happens. It's happening now. 9 out of 10, your kids are not going to make it to 21 with their virginity. I'm pretty sure most of them are not going to make it out of high school with their virginity. You know, I mean, or maybe I'm missing the mark here. You know, but, you know, I think that religion, you know, our idea of religion is such a thing, it's such a controlling force, and it's not only a controlling force for the people who believe in it, but people who don't even subscribe to your religion have to fall under whatever viewpoint you have, because, you know what I'm saying, you're trying to control everything. You're trying to control so much, you're affecting the livelihoods of everybody else around you. If a woman decides that she wants to do a sexy pose, you know what I'm saying, for some type of magazine or some type of picture shoot or something like that, well, she cannot be a teacher now. That woman is forever, you know what I'm saying, branded some type of bad person because she exposed her body and everything like that. A porn star decided, she's not really a star, she hadn't really been in it, but she had done porn movies. And she was coming to the school to read children's books to the kids. And the parents went haywire over that. It's not like she's coming there to read transcripts of her movies. She's coming there to read children's books. So, what's the big deal? Well, you know.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, get in there, Kim.
Oh, yeah, no, it's interesting how, you know, because of the dysfunction and some of the hang-ups, you know, brought on to society by religion, you know, it kind of turns into a snowball effect because, going back to something that we were talking about earlier, you know, about how the ownership is primarily, you know, put on women. So, you know, you have the women walking around with the burqas and, you know, covering themselves from, you know, head to foot because men cannot control their own desires. You know, and it's just, you know, interesting, but the Bible is a book written by men for men to control women and to subjugate women and children. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, in my opinion and just from my experience and what I've dealt with, you find some of the biggest freaks, some of the biggest, you know, sexual predators, some of the, you know, most interesting people in church. In church, and they're trying to hide it, and they're trying to suppress their natural desires, so they try to do things secretly. They try to do it behind the scenes, and it's just interesting because that's one of the reasons why we're having some of the, you know, the sex scandals that we have. You know, interestingly enough, you know, the Catholics don't want their priests to marry, so they're not getting married, but, you know, some of them are molesting little boys and little girls. And in some cases, you know, there was, you know, other adults, you know, trying to suppress, you know, what is a natural desire. And it's interesting because, I mean, the same things happen. And, you know, because Catholics are Christians, but it's a different, you know,
anyway. Well, you know, over in the, like the Protestant church, you know, having some of the same issues, whereas, you know, you have these, you know, pedophile pastors out here, and, you know, messing around with some of these children, and you know, having children with, you know, several women in the congregation that's not his wife. And it's just interesting.
Yeah, you know, and it's their religion is the reason why sex is a scandal. Not the pedophile stuff, but, you know, adult on adult. You know, two consenting people who are 37 years old becomes a scandal. A scandal? Like, that shouldn't be a scandal. That should just be, that's what happened Thursday. Now it's Saturday. We're having tacos. We don't care about that anymore. And then, like, I want to push that, that egregious presupposition of the innocence of children a little further. Like, I know when I was a little boy, and this was, late 80s, early 90s here, I was looking in those J.C.'s Penney's catalogs trying to see some boobies, looking at the bra section. Like, I was not some innocent kid. I knew exactly what I wanted to see. Or, like, when my mother went to sleep earlier and we got cable TV in 1989, and I would get up and watch Basic Instinct on HBO trying to see some boobies. And, 1989, I was 6 years old. Not that innocent. Then, 1990, I'm watching MTV's The Grind. Why? Because I want to see some boobies at 6 years old. Yeah, you know, like, I am not that innocent. Like,
Do you remember trying to watch porn while it was all distorted and squiggly line and everything like that? But, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't even really like trying. To me, I thought that was good enough. I wasn't even complaining. I was like, I can see a whole nipple there. This is a fine show. And, yeah, that's fantastic. I'll play my Vanilla Ice tape and watch this for about 30 minutes. Man, not innocent at all.
Oh, yeah, but see, that takes me in a different direction here. Because basically, you know, speaking of boobies and all of that, you know, with the adult entertainment industry, it kind of makes me wonder, you know, I wish they would do some surveys and some studies. How many of those young ladies or women came out of religious households? And in addition to that, how many of them are out there trying to support themselves and or their children because they don't have very many options? How many came from abusive homes? Because, you know, a lot of women will stay in an abusive relationship and in an abusive home because they have nowhere else to turn. And in some of these cases, many of the women have been taught to, you know, devalue education, devalue independence, and to rely upon that man or her husband or boyfriend or what have you. And then when things go south and she doesn't have a lot of options, or either he's beating the hell out of her, you know, then she has to go out there and start over. And, you know, for the most part, you know, it doesn't take a lot of skill to get up there and, you know, shake your butt. You know, now it takes a lot of skill to work that damn pole. You know, but that's another story. But, you know, it's just interesting, and I just wish that there were more opportunities for young women, and I wish many of them would, you know, shed that religious mindset and value education and value, you know, independence and try to establish some type of career. You know, you don't necessarily have to go to a university and get a 4-year degree, get a graduate degree. You can go and take up a trade. Perfectly, you know, good way to earn a living. And, you know, nowadays, with the economy being the way that it is, you know, many of these people that have taken up trades make more money than the college-educated people. So there's no shame in that. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting.
Yeah, that trade, that could be your that could be your own business, and you set your price, and you know what level of service you provide. Yeah, you can make more money than that college graduate who's out, what, how many nurses graduated in 2011, and they're all fighting for the same job. But you went into plumbing. I mean, who else wants to dig in that toilet? There's no shame in that. Here comes that word again. No shame in digging in that toilet if you're going to make more money than the unemployed registered nurse.
Exactly. Right, but in addition to that, you know, digging in that toilet, you become that person's best friend, especially if it's on a Saturday or Sunday, and you get to charge double.
Yeah, and then you have the day after Thanksgiving. That's a Black Friday for the stores. That's a big Green Friday for plumbers. And it's not even because of everybody in there making bowel movements, but it's because of people like throwing food down the drain that they shouldn't throw down the drain. Gets plumbers a whole bunch of business. But that what I just did there, that was a professional way of digressing. Let me bring it back to religion and sex. Now, how religious is Sarah Palin? Sarah Palin, big-time religious, right? The reason why she got into politics was so that she could stop a hospital in Alaska from doing abortions. And then this is something that we always point out about her that we laugh at, but we don't think anymore beyond the giggles and chuckles, that she did the beauty pageant. It's like, well, what's the beauty pageant selling? That's lust and vanity, I would think, if I were to look into their old platform. And it's like, so she got repressed and held down, and no, you go find you a man. You get you a good man, and you has you some children. And it's like, she just had to do that. Just, I got to jump in a bikini and walk around and have some people hoot and holler and whistle at me, and then I'll go get me a man. You know, so, yeah, she had to, she got that out of her system. Kind of proud of her for that one. It's more than chuckles. Like that was probably the only moment of her life that she was liberated, was when she walked up on that stage feeling like, yeah, I'm a hot chick. You know, and then other than that, now she's just a comedy character in the Republican Party.
You know, I find myself really looking at a lot of things. Like, you know, and I've seen, you know, where even women can be very vicious towards other women who have a sexual freedom or a sexual liberation, you know, going about themselves and everything. And I enjoy a woman that I date. If I'm dating a woman, I enjoy the fact that she embraces her own sexuality and doesn't let society tell her what she can and can't do and stuff like that. You know, and I really do admire someone who can just buck the system and say, well, I'm going to do my own thing, and if that means that I'm provocative and or sexy or sexual, then, you know, then so be it. You know, it takes a lot of strength to be a porn star, because you're going against such a big grain, you know, with society, and forever you're going to be known for that, even if it's one move. Even if you do one movie, I mean, that's what we were talking about when, Buckshot Ass, I mean, Montana Fishburne, when she did she did the porno, and you know, it was really, really ridiculous, you know, because her father is Lawrence Fishburne. And her, you know, said he was, I think he's either married to or dating the one. She was on,
with Brian Pumper. I've seen it. I like porno.
Yeah.
I know these things.
Yeah. And it's like, why are you doing that? You have no need to do porno because your father is Lawrence Morpheus Fishburne. So you did this porno. Not only was it a terrible porno, but you now have no career options left. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Because society forever brands you. I mean, I read this thing in which this teacher had did a porno like 20 years ago, and somebody just happened to find it, and she had to resign. You know, they'd never let you forget it. You know?
That's slut shaming, and that's why they want it documented, which it kind of ties into this. Let's play with a little bit of Ephesians 5:3-5. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. That's why I noted that one, because that particular scripture is legislated in the state that I live in, which is, this is before my manners were really in order in the workplace. Like, I engaged in the same roughhousing dialogue with the other fellows in my early 20s. But before I knew that you don't talk about race, religion, sex, or politics in the workplace, I learned about this law, and this is why I stopped. Because it's a law where you basically can't talk about or to women like that. Like, you're literally not supposed to do that in Florida. Like, if you there's no locker room talk. Like how the fellas like to say, hey, you know, Karen, I had sex with her. You know, they're not going to say it like that. They're going to say, I fucked her, because they have to say I did something to her. You can't do that. And that actually, an attorney tried to call that on Rush Limbaugh for what he said about Sandra Fluke. The attorney was Gloria Allred. And it's the Florida law that came out in 1883. And they kind of legislated that one right into my face there. Yeah, like you said with the teachers with the pornos and stuff, or like even like if you're a regular actress and you don't do a porno but you do a sex scene that's so rough, that pretty much is you. Like, people think Halle Berry, Monsters Ball is like her whole career now. Boomerang didn't happen. Nah, there were no BAPs. She's pretty much nothing but Monsters Ball now. And before that, she was nothing but Swordfish.
Oh, and I absolutely detested that movie, Monsters Ball. When we went to see that at the movie theater, at the end of the movie, when it was done and over with, I stood up and I was like, I want my money back. What kind of shit was that? I did not like that movie at all. I did not like the way she treated that little boy. I didn't like the compromises that she made. It was horrible.
What movie again?
Monsters Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was just a slave rape fantasy porno. Oh, at the end of the day, that's all that was. Hey, and I didn't even watch the whole movie. I was like 19 when that came out. I grabbed a bootleg DVD, watched the sex scene, and that was it. And then I just read about the movie, like, years later, and I was like, so that's the story that was around that scene? So that was pretty much a slave rape fantasy porno film.
Right.
That was, did you see Black Snake Moan then?
No, I didn't see that one.
I did, but too long ago. I pretty much forgot most of it, except for the fact that it was weird is what I got from that. It was just strange.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's basically what's his name? Samuel L. Jackson finds a young white girl and who's pretty much going through a hard time or whatever, and she's pretty much kind of, you know, have a rotten life and everything like that, and so he feels it's his duty to change to save her. So she's only wearing a skimpy top and maybe some panties or something like that for most of the movie, and he pretty much chains her to the radiator. And somehow or another, she begins to learn some values through all of this. So I don't know if they had a point or not.
Just a bad mushroom trip, and they wrote a movie. Like that, I can't. Like, what kind of idea was that? That's the thing. It was just totally weird. Like, Kim, do you have any idea? Did you seen that film?
No, I didn't see that film at all. You know, it's just the whole thing is just interesting, but looking at, the views towards sex, and in particular the church's views towards sex, it's just, I don't know, if they ever really did, some historical exploration, they'll see, how a lot of things came from paganism, as they like to call it,
you know, an orgy is basically their celebrations of life. And this is where, you know, the freedom of expression came from, you know, as far as, you know, sexuality is concerned. And, you know, many of them enjoyed participating in these things, but they didn't want anyone to know about it. A lot of this was, you know, kind of hush-hush, but, you know, it's just interesting. There are a lot of, going back to what you all were talking about with the movies, there are a lot of subliminal messages in these movies. And with some of these movies, they're very well researched, you know, but people, it makes so much sense. It's so much common sense in it that people deny it because they've been taught so much bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to realize, you know, like I'm reading this, I've been reading this scripture before, and it was about, it was in Genesis 38. And it's like, it was talking about, let me look at my notes here. It was like, after God killed Ur, I guess is how you pronounce the guy's name, Judah tells Onan to go unto my, unto thy brother's wife. But, you know, Onan knew the seed would not be his, and he went in unto his brother's wife, and he spilled his seed on the ground. And the thing he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. So I'm gathering that you know, apparently it was cool for him to go in there and bone this guy's wife, brother's wife, and the Lord got mad because he did nut in her and killed him, which is kind of jacked up, you know. It's kind of unfortunate. You know, I mean, yeah, I just, you know, when you
right.
read some of this stuff in this Bible, you really have to imagine acid trip. Just think that, and it might make a little bit more sense when you think about it.
I think that's also one of those ones, I think that's one of those ones that reminds you that man created God in his image. Because it's
right.
a man that wants to go in there and finish and shoot that load and roll over and eat some nachos and relax. Now that
yeah.
was no God made that up for you. That's something a man made up because I know that's what I would want to do. Because it just feels good.
Right, and you know, and the interesting thing about that is, you know, the story, you know, there about how, you know, the woman was married to the gentleman. The gentleman died, and then, you know, it was customary for one of the brothers to, you know, sire a child with, you know, the widow. And, you know, the interesting thing about that is, you know, in today's society, many of us will kind of look down on a woman who had relations with her dead husband's brother. You know,
yeah.
but, you know, it was like, you know, according to that Bible, it was this normal, it's commonplace, it was expected. It was about procreation. And that's just another way for them to show that sex is for procreation and procreation only. You know, sex wasn't necessarily there for it to be enjoyed unless you were King Solomon. And like I said, the Song of Solomon is nothing but Bible porn. Bible porn.
Yeah, so
what
what they're telling you is a couple of people in their late 40s can't have sex because one of them, the brother, died. Like, they're adults. Let these adults go at it. How many times can we, like, I mean, anybody listening probably knows this is a free thought show, so I just say, yeah, get that God business out of there and let these adults have sex.
Yeah, because they're going to do it anyway. They'll just do it in secret.
Yeah. Yeah, and then why that? Is that what they want? Do they want it all to be secretive? Which I'm pretty sure they didn't. When they wrote this political platform, it was at a time when, you know, you could throw rocks at somebody until they died and the whole town thought that was normal and cool. They didn't know that society would end up like this and we might have podcasts questioning these things over a Wi-Fi signal. And yeah, that stuff, you just can't behave like that.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I looked at the scripture to make sure I had it right. And so I'm looking at this. It's like, Genesis 38:3, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shela, and he was a Chesneb where she bare him. And Jonah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. I'm like, what the hell did he do for a God to kill him? I mean,
was this an adult or one of the children that got killed by the God?
I'm imagining it's the same scripture, so I'm imagining that he hadn't grown up yet.
They just killed it. He said, that's an ugly-ass baby. And he just, all right, because that's what he said, right? He said, what did he say? He said he saw that the child was not good, or what was the visual there?
I'm imagining there's a jump in logic here, so I'm imagining that they grew up and this happened, because a few scriptures down is talking about, and Onan knew that the seed would not be his, and it came to pass when he went unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest he should give seed to his brother. And a thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. It made sense to somebody.
See, because I said before, they wrote cognitive dissonance into it. They, like, intentionally put confusion there. Like, I'm going to tell you to do that, but I'm gonna kill you for it. And, you know, the way man made God in his image, that was definitely a crazy man that made God in his image. You know, if they had video cameras back then, yeah, that would have been a porno guy if they had video cameras when they were making the Bible.
Oh, yeah. I think I posted a couple of months ago an article talking about how some of the people in the Bible and some of the writers of the Bible would have been considered bipolar, schizophrenic, you know, personality disorders. You know, and it's just the whole thing is interesting, and people abide by this. You know, people committing some of the most depraved acts are heralded as heroes, you know. But it's just, it's interesting. But, you know, we talked about Lot having drunk sex with his daughters, which was just, you know, horrible. And, you know, Jacob, two sisters, and a handmaid, you know, so basically.
Right, that's a handmaid is a funny name. That, yeah, they just threw that in, like, that's all she does. She just does the grip.
Right. You know, and it's just a whole bunch of things. You know, you had Rahab in the Bible. Rahab was a prostitute, and she helped out, you know, a couple of people in the Bible. And so for that, they saved her. She had to put, like, this red ribbon outside of her window, and, you know, she was saved. But basically, you know, they pulled too short. But in this case, they did try to turn a hoe into a housewife. So, you know...
Hey, you know that one with the young ladies that, you know, had sex with their father there, like that yet again they're writing in that the women are doing this to the man. It, you know, a guy's daughters, like what, that are just supposed to be obedient and what have you and all that, but it's these young ladies that are doing this to the man, and it's like they're just writing it in there that like they want to get it on with you, with their dad.
But, you know, exactly. It makes you wonder, what the hell were the people in Sodom and Gomorrah doing to make, you know what I'm saying, Lot having sex with his two daughters being actually a better thing to do that didn't get him killed? You know, I read about that stuff, and it's like, you know, I really find myself, you know, I mean, because I'm not the type of person, I'm not the atheist that reads the OT and the new T and said, well, you know, I'm going to stick with the NT because, you know, the NT is better for me than the OT because the OT is kind of an asshole. But, you know, I look at it, all of this is in one book. Somebody wrote this stuff to make a meaning. If the OT is irrelevant, then why is it still in the book? You know what I'm saying? If it's inspired by God, then you can't ignore the OT. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm looking at all of this stuff is meant to be taken seriously. You know what I'm saying? But so, if to me, if it's saying that if you rape a woman and you get caught by her husband, her father, you know what I'm saying, and you now owe this dude 50 shekels and you have to marry his daughter because now she's of less value, you know, it's her fault, you know what I'm saying? She's not as valuable anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Like
so
she's a, less value.
Yeah,
like she's
yeah,
a can
yeah.
of corn you dropped in the grocery store. You get a coupon on her now. Like she would have costed you like 5 goats, you know, and way more shekels and maybe a shack and an acre of land. But now she's just 50 shekels. You know, you ruined my daughter. Like now I gotta go lie with thy wife and make another daughter, you asshole.
Yeah.
You know, like it actually is a pun. That's what's a punishment to them for that. That's nuts.
Yeah, you know, it's just it's interesting. You know, when you start looking at it, and you know, going back to you know something that William said a little bit earlier, you know, but you got to remember, you know, fear, guilt, and shame, bedrock of religion. So yeah, they're gonna make them feel ashamed of having sex. They're going to make them feel bad and guilty about enjoying themselves. It's like anything good, anything that's enjoyable, anything that gives you, you know, a more well-rounded life, it's like religion just tries to suck all the air right out of it, you know. And so it's just it's interesting, but, yeah, you know, it's about controlling the masses. It's about manipulation. It's about, you know, oh, you enjoy that? Oh, well, you know, because you enjoy that, you know, we're going to try to find a way to control it and tell you that it's bad for you or you should only do this at this time or do this in moderation because you enjoy that so much. You know, if we can control that, then we can control you. And it's just the whole thing is just really interesting when you start looking at religion on its face.
Okay, that's a new thought for me. If we can control that, we can control you. Like, the way I would have seen it before you said that, if 60 seconds before you would have said that, I would have thought that they want to do that because they're actually trying to, like, maybe there might be someone in there that's not a sociopath, and he really is trying to help you, that's saying, like, no, seriously, man, you drink too much of that Sprite, that's not good for your bloodstream. You need to eat some fruit and drink some water. And it's like, I'm with you. Yeah, they're trying to control you. They are not trying to help you. No, it's just that weird want to ownership of own other people.
All right,
exactly.
So, all right. This is a question that I've asked, you know, and it's just curious. Do you believe that monogamy, you know, is still valid? You know what I'm saying?
Say that again.
Do you believe that monogamy is still, you know, that I've had this discussion in which people will say that monogamy is no longer valid, especially among, you know, non-believers and everything who are trying to let go of everything religious. They see marriage as a religious institution or part of a religion and whatnot. And so, you know, marriage, it seems to be kind of an obsolete idea. And they're thinking, you know, like, well, you know, humans are not meant to be with one person and stuff like that. Do you believe all that?
I will go with, oh, my bad. Yeah, I'll pay Kim.
No, William. Go ahead, hon. Go ahead.
There is no meant to be. I think we are exactly what William Lane Craig preaches to be afraid of. Adam's bumping around. Nobody is born with a purpose, so there is no meant to be. And then, like, as far as, like, monogamy, I think it's a way to protect yourself against STDs more so than anything else. Like, that's pretty much the main thing monogamy will do for you is protect you against STDs out there if two people are just like, hey, we're going to be sex partners and not catch anything from out there in the world if everyone else having sex. But, like, other than that, like, now I'm going to say right now I am on the extreme when it comes to, like, relationships, which I probably won't practice in my own lifetime. Like, probably when I'm 40, I'll settle down with a girlfriend and we'll get old rocking on the rocking chair. But I don't think that a couple of romantic companions should even really have to live together. Like, even now, I'm almost 30. I don't want to share my bedroom and closet with a romantic companion, you know, like, let alone share a home. Like, how come you can't have your house and I have my house, and then we have sex on your house because I don't want to mess up my furniture, you know, and we just, like, hang out like that, and, you know, maybe let some time pass before we see each other as lifelong romantic companions. Come up with some new stories, you know, like, I'll see you in 3 weeks. By then, something interesting will have happened, and we can have a fantastic conversation rather than begrudgingly see each other every single day and every single night and brunch with the neighbors on Sunday and then go to your mother's house on Saturday. Like, how come we can't just live apart and live separate lives but still be dedicated to each other and still be, I keep saying, romantic companions? That's far off the deep end.
Oh, yeah, no, and I agree with you. You know, that living together thing, you know, that's just some fantasy somebody came up with, because with me personally, you know, I don't believe that monogamy is dead, but I also don't believe that monogamy is for everyone. You know, my whole thing is about communication and honesty. And, you know, that ties into what William said about, you know, with the STDs and things of that nature. Yeah, that's why you limit yourself, or some people limit themselves, because, you know, they don't want to acquire, you know, an STD, especially one that's going to have you on pills for the rest of your life, or you can't get rid of, you know. But, you know, the interesting thing about that is, you know, if you're in a relationship, whether it's committed or half committed or whatever, with someone, if you all are honest and you open a relationship up, that's one thing. But, you know, it's the sneakiness. It's the, you know, other bullshit that goes along in which somebody is going to get hurt. That's where the problem comes in, you know, because if they're in a relationship by themselves, then what's the purpose of being in a relationship? But, no, I don't believe that monogamy is for everybody. You know, you have a lot of people out here who are polyamorous, you know, you have sister wives, you have all kind of different scenarios out here in which people indulge. And my whole thing is, you like it, I love it, live your life the way that you see fit and what makes you happy. You know, but what makes you happy may not necessarily make me happy, but that's the good thing about being individuals.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, good. I'm glad I got somebody else on board. Yeah, we do not have to live together. I mean, I'm very meticulous. Like, I tell you right now, ladies, you wouldn't want to live with me anyway. All the way down to how the toothpaste is squeezed out of the tube. Everything is done a specific way. And yeah, you don't want to live with me anyway.
you're a bottom squeezer, or do you actually roll the toothpaste tube up as you go along?
Yes, yeah, I'm rolling. I am Jack Nicholson. I am as good as it gets. Do not want to be around this guy.
Right. No, trust me, you know, I mean, we all have our little idiosyncrasies. You know, we all have our little ways about ourselves that, you know, I know that it would be very difficult for me to live with someone, which is why I won't even really attempt it ever again. Because, you know, I drive myself nuts about some things. I can only imagine what someone else goes through.
Yeah. Now let's turn the question back on the asker. Mario, do you find monogamy relevant?
I think it's kind of like what Kim said. It's not for everybody. You know, I know some friends of mine who are polyamorous and whatnot. And for me personally, I like the idea of knowing that that person is for me and I'm for that person, because not only does it cut down the rate of STDs, I don't like to think that there's some other guy sliding in and out of a woman. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that guy has, for one thing. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like, I just don't want to. It's almost like, you know, you're sharing a straw with a strange guy. You know, do you really want to drink behind this guy? You know, and most of the women I date kind of feel the same way, that they're into monogamy. They're not into sharing and stuff like that. I've never dated anyone who was really into polyamory and whatnot, and I imagine that there are some things I could probably adjust on, but the idea of having someone that, you know, I'm kind of companions with, sexual partners with, and that person is, you know, she and I kind of are one-to-one on that, then I kind of like that for myself, though. But I have lived with a woman before, you know, and I realize that you never know what somebody is like until you see them, see what they're like on an everyday basis. And those little things that were kind of cute or slightly annoying, but it was still kind of cute, get on your damn nerves when it happens every day. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm the kind of guy who, when I come home, I like to, you know, chill. Sometimes I eat a bowl of cereal, you know what I'm saying, watch cartoons, what have you, something like that. You know, I come home and all my damn pops have been eaten up. If I lived at home by myself, I would still have some pops, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right, exactly. Oh, trust, I was in the same position, you know, with my last relationship, you know, was, you know, my mate, and then, you know, they had a child. And the child lived with us. And it was interesting. And this kid would sit down and just eat, eat, eat. But anyway, you know, let's say they had the cereal, you know, 4 boxes for $10, right? Mm-hmm. By 8 boxes. Out of the 8 boxes, 1 box would be mine. The other 7 boxes would be divided amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, and I would get, and some of the, my cereal, but, you know, what I would buy would be, you know, I would buy another box for them, the same cereal. Do you know that they would want to eat up my stuff, too? And it was just interesting, because it's like, you know, first of all, my box is going to sit there for the whole month, because I'm not really going to touch it, you know, but it's just interesting. But, no, I'll be the first one to say, you know, I'm a little selfish, can be a little self-absorbed about some things, and I can't do it, can't do the live-in thing. Mm-mm, got to be real dang on special. But, and that would take years. But it's just, it's interesting. I just, you know, those of you that are into all of that, I absolutely wish you the very best. You know, because, you know, you do miss the companionship. You do miss the intimacy. You do miss all of those things. You know, but you forget about the drama. You forget about, you know, losing certain aspects of your freedom. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, I think I got to run back on a thought there with the, you said the fantasy of the man and the woman living together. When they wrote that in, that was not a fantasy of a man and woman living together. That was the man owning the woman as something in his house, no different than a chair or a table. She was something that man owned in his house. And I guess me being a man that doesn't want to own a woman, I'm all set. I don't even want a goldfish. Like, the only other organisms I want in here are plants. Like, that's it. From the farmer's market, you know? Yes. And I've also, I guess, you guys both said you've tried living with people. I'm uber spoiled. I've never even tried that. So now, and in my head, I'm just creating all these horror stories about how bad it would be, which, yeah, it'll probably never happen there. And oh jeez, what was that? What was that other thought that I had? Oh man, I lost my thought. That gummit, it was a good one. Shit.
But it happens. But you know, there in the chat room, someone saying, "Not even a cat." Nope, I don't want a cat. I don't want a dog. I don't want a fish. I don't want nothing that I have to remember to feed and take out. Nothing.
No, no. If I'm a feed someone, you know what? I want a Venus flytrap every spring that's going to die in the winter. That's all I want, because you know what? Those are pretty darn cool. That's what I want in my house. Just bring them up. Bring
cool
me
album.
Those big ones from Australia that catch cats. And I did nothing to catch cats.
Kind of related, but I recently rewatched Day of the Triffids, which is about giant carnivorous alien plants, you know, was pretty cool, you know. But there is something cool about having a carnivorous plant, as put that though, you know, it's kind of creepy and everything, you know. you know, something else, you know, I was going to ask. What do you think about prostitution? Do you think prostitution should be legal?
Yes.
And I think it would be so hard to make it sweepingly legal, like right now, because so much, we're too far behind on sex education. I don't know about the rest of the planet, but I know on this continent, we're far too behind on sex education to just sweep it across legal. People are too dumb and too irresponsible already, and they won't be able to handle it.
Right, and see, but that's the reason why I think that prostitution should be legal, for the simple fact that, you know, required STD testing, requires, you know, insurance, benefits, you know, to give the women some dignity, the ones that want to be, you know, in that particular profession, if you will, but to give them some semblance of dignity, some semblance of respect. They need health care as well, you know, and all of that, and then also, you know, put some responsibility on the people that want to partake in that service. So, you know, as far as it being legal, yeah, it should be legal, because, you know, when they make, you know, drugs and, you know, prostitution and all of these things illegal, it creates a black market. It creates an illicit market. The question is, who is benefiting? Who is profiting from it? See, that's the issue.
Right.
Oh, you know what? Once again, I'm with Kim. I'm with Kim again. Yeah, and you know, yeah, make it legit. Make the fellas have to get tested too to come in. And it should be like when you get with the giant grocery store, you got to get your club card. You have to have your membership card swiped, fill out an application. You might even get rejected if your application isn't right. Like, you're not ready, sir. You got to back up. Stay out for 30 days. Come back in. And That would be a fantastic way to do that. So I'm changing my position. You see, like I said earlier in the show, I'm not some debate expert or anything. I'm just a person with opinions, and they can change. And hey, we still got that phone number of 310-982-4273. We have 19 minutes left. Or whoa, my cable box is off. We have 16 minutes left. You can get in and share some thoughts. And then I got a thought back in my head, the one that I lost earlier from what Mario said. We're talking about like, You don't want dudes, you know, running in and out of your girl, and just like how a woman doesn't want men running in it. But what I was saying was how you were able to put that together without an invisible man in the sky helping you. You know, like you came up with that thought, and it's just purely honest. And it's like this is the same thought that they were putting out there in their political platform 2,000 years ago, but they have to put it behind, oh, but I'm a good man, and I don't want her to be a sinful, shameful, lustful woman. And it's like, nah, man, we're just not comfortable with that. You know, it just makes you uncomfortable. Like I was listening to one show where they were talking about what it's like to date an actress that does, you know, a simulated sex scene. And it's like, and one guy was pointing out, like, it's not really that bad if it's like, oh, Jack Nicholson rubbing up against your girlfriend, you know, faking it. But if it's some dude like The Rock or some, Michael Clark Duncan or some cat, and it's like, you're just thinking, she might actually want that, and you're not comfortable with it. And so, yeah, and you're able to just say that, and you don't got to put it behind some magic.
Okay. Hey, we got Travis on the line, man. What's up?
What's up?
Y'all had me rolling over here. I forgot about the show, and I tune in. Y'all talking about prostitution. Well, first of all, you know, if prostitution was legal, the price of pussy would plummet. Is what the first thing that would happen. Right? That'd be the first thing. No, seriously, it just would, because people are broke. It'd be $5, okay. But you're right though. If you have certain kind of bumps, you can only go to certain spots. You can't be just bumping everybody else up. You know, you have to take your bumps over there. You have to separate it out. Well, no, but it would help the economy. I mean, but like I talked to a lady who used to do it. She said, you know, you could really only let like, you know, four or five people up in there a day. You know, because really, once you get to seven, you're gonna be out of commission. Like the next day, you have to sit in the cold pool. Ice on your stuff.
How'd y'all get here from religion? Does religion stop prostitution? Yeah. Here, my question is to you guys. Every time there's an election, you talk about gay rights and the Republicans trying to take away gay rights, and you talk about the attack on women, and Republicans have the attack on women. But the Democrats kind of go halfway on it because both of those attacks come from religion. And until you get real with the source of the problem, nothing can change.
Right.
Yeah, and all they're doing, they're interpreting the same book in different ways, like what we've brought up on this show before. I'm sure many of free thinkers and atheists and whatever label you need today, everybody's brought this up, is that the Christians will always say, but science might change, but the Bible doesn't change. It is changing because you're changing the way you're interpreting it. You're reading blue, and then you're saying, nah, fuck that, it's green. And then culture changes, so you say, ah, to hell with that green, that's yellow now. That's yellow. Interracial marriage is good. You know, like, get out of here. Like, they're changing the way they read it, so they are changing it.
You're right.
Right.
Priests used to get paid. People used to pay priests to pray for them to get healed from disease or sickness, or that their crops would grow, or that their shit would come back, you know, from the sea. And now medicine used to be the the area of the priest. And then once science took over medicine, the priest only got your soul. And we're trying to free you here on Black Free Thinkers. We're trying to free you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I do believe that prostitution should be legal myself, because I think it's kind of ridiculous that if I come over to a chick's house and like, hey, I got a toaster that I'm trying to sell. You want it? Cool. I need a toaster. You know, I need to cook toast in a little machine for some reason. Cool. And so that's fine. But if she said, hey, I'm selling sex today, for about $20. Of my own body, you know what I'm saying? Would you like to buy some? Cool. Yeah, hadn't had any sex. I wouldn't mind buying some from you right quick and everything like that. We have just committed a crime. How come she can sell me a toaster that she owns, but she can't sell me her body, which she also owns? Now, I'm not into buying prostitutes. I don't have a need to do that. But at the same time, I just think it's really ridiculous that you're with launching major investigations and ruining people's reputation because some woman decides she wants to sell sex out of her Zumba class, you know, or whatever that was, you know, whatever. You know, and people, you know, saying have the potential to be ruined. You know, I can't really remember what politician that was, but my man paid $20,000 for 4 hours with this woman, right? That's got to be
right. He's paying for secrecy.
Stuff.
He's
paying
for
secrecy.
Quiet. I mean, you're paying for quiet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Well, I guess so.
You could be a big time celebrity, professional athlete, or you know, with a $100 million contract, and you might buy an extra house somewhere in some other city, and just be like, hey, all right, check it out. You can stay here, and you can do whatever you want when I'm not in town. But I'll give you a couple of days notice, and you gotta clear everybody out, and it's me and you for a couple of days. I mean, it could be like that. That's how they do, because they can.
Or she might be so expensive because that's just the level of service. She might be able to do something awesome with a Frappuccino and a pan of brownies. Like, she might be able to do something fantastic that we don't know about because that's not our tax bracket to be spending $20 on magic tricks.
Well,
you're right.
Sunshine.
She might be putting marmalade on the toast.
And like what that runs back to, like why she can sell you the toaster but she can't sell you that sex is it runs back to what we said earlier, that if it's not on video, then they can't slut shame you for life for it, so they don't want you selling it that way. You can only sell it on video, and it's perfectly legit because then it's documented, and then all the fellas can say point and laugh.
Yep. And I always find it odd because, you know, I get into a debate with somebody, you know, and once again we get, you know, the idea of what a woman should and shouldn't be. And I guess this goes back to chastity and a woman's place and everything, in which you'll have a celebrity who, you know, was with this guy, now she's with another guy, and then may end up with another guy, that person, that celebrity, becomes a whore. And it's like, you've only known of 3-4 guys you slept with. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure you slept with more than 3 or 4 guys, yet she's the slut because, you know, she's a slut or she's the whore because you know about it via the media. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, that, you know, it's like, man, because, you know, if we're going to start counting numbers here, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of us who, you know,
right,
over the 10, over the double digit mark.
Right.
Triple digit.
Right.
Yeah,
but, I mean, but again, that's, to be honest with you, that's neither here nor there. The number, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, you know, where are your papers? And if your papers say that, you know, you're STD and HIV free, then we can have a conversation. And, you know, we have to kind of get over, you know, some of the preconceived notions that we have about the number of sex partners somebody had. Now, you know,
right,
of course, I want someone that's been with like 10,000 people, you know, because, you know, you're going to see the wear and tear. But, you know, you when you're growing up, you're experimenting, you're learning about your own Bible, your Bible, your own body, and, you know, you're exploring somebody else's body, you know, and especially, you know, with some of the people like myself that came from a religious household. Many of us did not receive adequate sex education. And when we did have
right,
health classes and the sex education in school, our parents would sign the paperwork to opt us out of it. So the sex education that we would get, basically we would get that education from other kids our age, our peer groups, and
yep,
most of that information was incorrect, or we got the information off of TV. And we are so
right,
hypersexualized in this country, you know, they want to know why their children are out here screwing everything that's walking. Well, that's because you let the TV raise them.
Right,
yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
you know what else?
What
it might take you 10. It might take you 10 to find something that fits. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, right? And no woman's gonna be the woman she's gonna be till like dick 11.
Right, or the woman might be counting numbers in locker room talking herself. You never know. Karen might go back and talk to Diana and be like, "Hey, yeah, you know Chris? Yeah, I just fucked him." Like, she could be doing that too. Like I remember, like that that low level of sex education. I remember there was one kid in the neighborhood. Because like it was mostly like a lot of free thought kids, like not a lot of real Christian kids. But one kid who had that real Christian mother, you know, the one that wouldn't let him have a Teddy Ruxpin back in the early 90s because that might have the devil in it. McDonald's toys might have the devil in them. I remember when we were 11 years old, I'll never forget this, he very confidently said, "Yeah, I want to have sex, but I don't want to put it in her butt because then she'll get pregnant." And it was like, you're the only 11-year-old around here that doesn't know that because your mother wouldn't let you in the sex ed class. You think that butt sex causes pregnancy.
Wow.
Oh,
that
is hilarious.
Yeah, we learned that. We had sex ed when we were 10 years old in fifth grade in Mr. Ronald Ellis' class, and apparently he was not there, or maybe he was there, but you know his wacky mother. Yeah, that's right. I'm saying his mother's wacky right here on the radio show. She was nuts, and she kind of messed him up there. You know, this is the same kid. His older brother committed suicide. You know, like that. That's one of those suburban families that makes you think of those movies like American Beauty. Like it's not as nice as their front lawn inside that house. We got the
last few
minutes. Kim, you want to mention the fundraiser?
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we're having a fundraiser on ChipIn. It's blackfreethinkers.chipin.com/blackfreethinkersmedia, but you know, we're just asking people to donate, you know, $1 or $2, you know, whatever you can, as little or as much as you can, and so that we can move forward with some projects that we're trying to develop and put into motion. So, you know, we're just asking people to donate a little something. I'll put the link up, and, you know, you can click on there and, you know, designate how much you want to give and go from there. But also, we want to send our condolences out to Raina and her family. They
right.
had, you know, a death in their family, and so, you know, I just want her to know that our hearts are there with her, and, you know, I spoke with her earlier today, and she's doing much, much better. So, you know, we love you, Raina.
Definitely. Yeah, much love to Raina.
Yeah.
Much love to Raina.
Oh, yeah, and also Paul Kurtz. You know, he passed away, and, you know, definitely, you know, our hearts go out to his family, as well as Norm Allen, because, you know, he was Norm's mentor. And, you know, with Paul and Norm, that's how AAH came about, African Americans for Humanism. So, you know, and a very, very important figure in the secular humanism community. And so, you know, I definitely want to acknowledge Paul and Norm and all of those guys, you know, definitely admire them. So, you know, Paul, he you know, he's no longer with us, but, you know, we still have his writings, we still have his influence, you know, a very influential woman.
I feel like we're kind of like we're segueing into another show in a couple of weeks. How do we deal with death? Do we have our own ways? We got the last couple of seconds here. I think that's a good segue in there. This was a fantastic one. And for the listeners out there, you could probably tell we got a, you know, there's a delay between the phones, between the phone lines. We're like across the continent from each other here. And, yeah, every once in a while there's those little awkward silences. But I heard one group of podcasters say, you know, every awkward silence, a gay baby is born. And I love that. I love watching the Logo Channel. So let's have all the awkward silences we can on these delayed phones.
Yeah. I try to keep up and everything, and, you know, say that's how you hear us overlap a little bit. But I also want to reiterate that our condolences and best wishes for all those affected by Hurricane Sandy. And if, like I said, again, if you know of any relief efforts underway, please feel free to post them in the room or post them to our pages and whatnot, or inbox, whatever, you know what I'm saying, do whatever you can to help with the relief efforts, and it donates something, a little bit, you know, helps somebody, trust me.
Hey, Kim, did you see the thing in the note in the chat room? Somebody's asking, Robin Mirror is asking, tell us about the Oprah HuffPost, Kim.
Tell us about the what?
The Oprah Huffington Post thing.
Well, okay, Oprah is now part of Huffington Post, and what happened was, you know, I saw that, and I went over there, and, you know, I read the article, and so, you know, I just asked a couple of basic questions about, you know, why, you know, do we have to be connected to something bigger than us? Why can't we be, you know, what we're searching for? You know, we ourselves be what we're searching for. And it's just interesting because, you know, I tried to respond a little bit after that to a couple of other responses, and none of my responses would go through. And so I figured that I had been banned. And, you know, later on down the line, I waited about an hour or so, and then I came back and responded. They let me ask someone if they were speaking in parables, and they also allowed me to make a couple of other comments. But it's just interesting because the one comment that I've made, in which I said, you know, not everyone believes in a higher being. Not everybody believes in somebody bigger than ourselves. They won't post that. And it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, I was the very first comment on that article there. You know, Oprah, you know, she's going to read that. Hi, Oprah, I want you to read my stuff. I want you to pay attention to me, Oprah. We got things we got to do. Now.
We're in the last minute of the show, and it's going to click off in a little bit. So I want to thank all the listeners out there for listening to us again as we banter on and discuss another pretty good topic. I'm sorry to the callers that we didn't get to. But sometimes, I guess we just got to rolling and wasn't even thinking about it and everything. And tune in Sunday
for Kim's show, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure it's going to be another good one. They're always good, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to set your clocks back an hour. Don't forget that. That's going to happen Saturday at 2 a.m. because, you know, somebody said it should happen. So, anyway, y'all take care and have a good weekend. We love y'all. Thank you, and be safe.
All right.
Black Free Good Fingers. Night.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Peace.
Bye-bye.